You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, coming from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin Craig speaking, and we're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way. I'd like to invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. We thank the Lord for His blessings and for His goodness to each and to every one of us, for it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. We trust that our broadcast service today will be a blessing to your spiritual life.
Let the gates of praise be open, shout before the joy within, shout and sing, the Lord has spoken, for He saves and keeps from sin. Praise Him in the sanctuary, praise Him in the sovereign prayer, praise Him in
full of gladness, which we joyfully proclaim. How it cheers the sad and lonely, how it magnifies His name.
Praise Him in the sanctuary, praise Him in the song and prayer, praise Him in
His children near or far, joyfully will bear their burden to our God who answers prayer.
Praise Him in the sanctuary, praise Him in the song and prayer, praise Him in the
clouds above us hover, and the hosts of hell are near. Shout His praises, hallelujah! Christ will make them disappear.
Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful to Thee for all of Thy rich blessings to us. It is only proper and right that we should offer praise and thanksgiving to Thee, for it is in Thee that we live and move and have our being, and every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor even a shadow of turning. So as the psalmist said, let all the people praise Thee. We thank you for the privilege of sharing this gospel broadcast with this precious people today. We're trusting that the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to every soul. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share this broadcast service with you from week to week. We trust that it is proving to be a blessing. At the close of our broadcast, we'll be giving you our mailing address, and we would be thankful if you'd take time to write and let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast.
Without him I could do nothing. Without him I surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I would be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Alone with God. When storms of life around me beating, when rough the path that I have trod, within my closet door retreating, I love to be alone with God. What though the clouds have gathered o'er me? What though I've passed beneath the rod? God's perfect will there lies before me when I am alone with God. 'Tis there I find new strength for duty, as o'er the sands of time I plod. I see the King in all his glory and beauty while resting there alone with God. And when I see the moment nearing when I shall sleep beneath the sod, when time will be is disappearing, I want to be alone with God. Alone with God, the world forbidden. Alone with God, O blessed retreat. Alone with God, and in him hidden, to hold with him communion sweet. I don't suppose any normal person wants to be alone all the time. Most do not want to be a hermit, although there are some. Yet there are times we appreciate being alone. When it comes to living the Christian life, it is very important that we have periods when we are alone with God. I want to speak in reference to some men and women in the Bible that were alone with God at times. And I want to start with the man Jacob. He had left home and had gone back to where his mother had lived. And there he lived for approximately 20 years. He had left under very strenuous circumstances. His brother Esau had threatened to kill him when their father died, and Jacob knew this, but God had impressed him that he should return to the land of Canaan, and he started on his journey. And he sent word to his brother Esau that he was returning. Those who had gone to convey that message to Esau came back, telling Jacob that Esau was on his way with 400 men. And of course, Jacob knew that it didn't take all that many people to welcome him back. And so he put a number of his people out with a number of his cattle to try to appease Esau. And then he put the wife and the children that he thought the least of, and then his wife that he loved the most in behind. And there they were strung out. But the Bible tells us how that Jacob went back across the brook, and there he wrestled alone with a man all night. And we understand that man was an angel. And he wrestled with him, doubtless endeavoring to get victory over the coming of Esau and his fear of being slain by Esau and the 400 men. And before day break completely, he asked the angel what his name was, and the angel would not tell him. And the angel asked Jacob, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob," which meant, of course, supplanter. And the angel said to him, "Thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and hast prevailed." Yes, Jacob was there alone with the angel, and he wrestled, and he gained the victory. For whenever Esau arrived, rather than falling on him with a sword to slay him, he fell on his neck and wept. Jacob gained the victory by being alone with God and wrestling there until God heard his prayer and granted him the victory that he was seeking. Now, the next person I'd like to mention is the man Moses. Moses was alone when God called him to return to deliver Israel out of bondage, according to Exodus chapter 3. Moses, of course, had been born in Egypt. His parents had hid him in a little ark in the bulrush. The princess had found him, and after his mother nursed him to the age where he was old enough, he was turned over to the princess and was brought up in Pharaoh's court. But at 40, we read where Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he fled out of Egypt. And there he met a man that had 7 daughters, and Moses married one of them. She became his wife, and he had a child by this wife. But he was watching his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of Mount Horeb. Whenever he saw a strange sight, he saw a bush burning that was not consumed. And as he approached that burning bush, he was told, "Moses, take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground." So Moses was there alone with God when God called him to return into the land of Egypt to deliver the children of Israel out. And he sent him back into Egypt with a dry stick. But he told Moses, "By that rod you shall show signs and wonders," in which of course he did. And Moses led the children of Israel, under the leadership of Almighty God, out of bondage out of Egypt, and he led them to the land that we know today as the Sinai Desert. That's not the only time Moses was alone with God. Moses was alone with God when God called him up on the mount to receive the law. We read in Exodus chapter 24 and the first part of verse 2, Moses alone shall come near the Lord. The children of Israel were told not to touch the mountain, lest they be smitten. But Moses went up the mountain, and there he was alone with God for 40 days and 40 nights. And then we come down to the end of Moses' life, or near the end of his life, when he was 120 years of age. Moses had disobeyed God on a certain occasion, and because of that, God told him he would not be permitted to enter the promised land, but he took him up on Mount Pisgah, and there he showed him the land of Canaan, the land of promise. And Moses was there alone on the mount. And while he was there alone on the mount, he passed from this life, and God buried him alone. The children of Israel could not find his burial place. So there were different times when Moses was alone with God. Also, the man Joshua, who succeeded Moses as leadership of the children of Israel. They were there on the east side of the Jordan, and Joshua crossed over, and there he met a man. And he said, "Are you with us, or are you against us?" And the answer was that he was the captain of the Lord's host. And this captain of the Lord's host appeared to Joshua while Joshua was there alone. And of course, you know, it was under Joshua's leadership that the children of Israel crossed the Jordan and began to possess the land that God had promised Abraham more than 430 years before. And then we think of Queen Esther. She was alone when she went in before the king. Oh yes, there were other people there, but as far as Esther was concerned, she went in alone. Now, the background of this, there was a man there by the name of Haman, and Mordecai, her uncle who had raised her, refused to bow to Haman, and it infuriated Haman to the point where he made a plot and had the king to sign the decree that all the Hebrew children, or the Hebrew people, would be slain there in all of his kingdom. And Esther was informed of this by Mordecai, and Mordecai urged Esther to do something to save her people. And she said, "Well, the king has not called for me for 30 days, which was rather an unusual situation, but nevertheless, she sent word to Mordecai that he should have the people there in the capital to fast with her, and she and her maidens would fast for 3 days. And then she said, "I go in, and if I perish, I perish." Yes, she was consecrated to perish for her people if need be. So she went in alone, and she stood back some distance from the king, and the king saw her. But instead of taking her out and killing her, the king raised his scepter to her, which meant that she was permitted to approach his throne. And she did. And you know, if you're familiar with the book of Esther, you know the story, how that Esther was successful in preserving the lives of her people, and Haman, who was determined to have Mordecai hung on a tower that he had made, he was hung there himself instead. And Esther and her people were saved. "I go in, and if I perish, I perish." But God was with her, and she went in alone, and she preserved the lives of her people. Now, there is a man, a very well-known prophet in the book of the Old Testament, by the name of Elijah. And Elijah was alone Again, there was a lot of people around, but as far as Elijah was alone when he contested the 450 false prophets, as we read in 1 Kings 18. Now, Elijah had challenged the children of Israel to prove who was the true God, and they would not respond to him. They wouldn't say anything. And so he said, well, let's have the prophets of Baal to make an altar, put a sacrifice on it, and then later I will put my sacrifice on the altar, and the God that answers by fire, let him be the true God. And he suggested that the 450 false prophets go first, and they did, and they cut themselves with stones and jumped on their altar. Elijah stood back and mocked them, said, maybe your God has gone on a journey, maybe he's asleep, cry a little louder, wake him up. And then when it came time for the evening sacrifice, about 3 o'clock, Elijah said, now you've had all day, it's my time. But before he prayed, he had his altar built, put his sacrifice upon it, and then he had them to put 4 barrels of water, 3 different times, 12 barrels in all, had a ditch dug around the altar so that they could see that he didn't have somebody down there ready to set a fire, and poured these barrels of water on the water, on the altar, and filled up the ditch and soaked the altar. And Elijah stood back alone, prayed a short prayer, and God heard from heaven and sent fire and consumed the sacrifice. And then the people cried out, the Lord, he is God, he is God. And Elijah had those 450 false prophets put to death. So Elijah contested them alone with God, and God sent the fire. Now we read about a young man in his teens, by the name of Daniel, who was taken from Jerusalem to Babylon as a war prisoner, he and some other friends that he had. And we read about some of his experiences there in Babylon. We read in the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, in the 6th verse, that Daniel saw a vision, and a man appeared before his face, the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and feet like polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now Daniel was there by the side of a river alone in prayer when he saw this vision of this man. We also read of Daniel alone in his house praying whenever those who had tricked the king into signing a decree that no one should ask any petition of any god or man for 30 days except a king. And they did that to ensnare Daniel, because they had enough confidence in Daniel to know that he would go ahead with his prayer life. He prayed 3 times a day. And after the decree was signed, Daniel went ahead and prayed just like he had before. And these were against him, were outside waiting, and they were not disappointed. They heard Daniel praying, and so they go in before the king, and they tell him about how Daniel had transgressed his decree. And the king tried to find a loophole whereby he might spare Daniel, but they reminded the king, you know, the law of the Medes and Persians cannot be changed. You've got to have this man thrown in the lion's den, like you said. And so the king dismissed the band that night, and he dismissed the cooks. He didn't have a banquet, and he didn't have music. But he did walk alone with Daniel to the lion's den. And he encouraged Daniel as they walked along. But then Daniel alone was thrown in the lion's den. Now, some people would have you to believe that Daniel used one of the lions to pillow his head that night as he slept. No, Daniel did not tempt God. Daniel kept his distance. But God did send his angel and close the lion's mouth, and Daniel was there alone with God in the lion's den all night. But the king came down the next morning And he called out, O Daniel, is the God that you serve able to save you or deliver you? And the king heard Daniel say, O king, live forever. God had sent his son, had sent an angel, and closed the mouths of the lions. Now Jesus spent many times alone with God. We read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now, our Christian life will never be all that it should be unless we spend time alone with God. We cannot be like God unless we are much alone with Him. And we cannot live like Him unless we are like Him. We are to live godly in this present world. So Paul told us in Titus 2:11 that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And if we're going to be able to do that, we must spend time alone with God. When we are busy with the duties of life, in contact with the world, it is very difficult to come into that sacred nearness to God. That is one reason why Jesus said, When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Jesus did not mean necessarily that we go into a literal closet and close the door. He's telling us to get alone with God and close our mind to other things and spend time in prayer. Alone with God, the world forbidden. Alone with God, O blessed retreat, alone with God, and in Him hidden, to hold with Him communion sweet. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these precious scriptures and thoughts. We trust that You have been able to make them a blessing to our congregation today. May the Holy Spirit work in hearts as You see the needs. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. Now, our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. You may also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage, as well as listen to a number of our broadcasts. And join us Sunday morning and Sunday evening for our church service. Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11. The evening service begins at 6. Again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast, and we invite you to tune in next week when again, the Lord willing, will come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
From the dust of the earth, my God created man, His breath made man a living soul. For God so loved the world, He yeah. Lord.